Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah, the Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans on Veterans Day. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Ed Fuller. He's an author and much more than an author. He's overseen a lot of businesses around the world, including especially the Middle East. Then Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and Marines Gil and Skip will review the border and books. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to welcome back Ed Fuller. He's run a bunch of hotels in the Middle East, and he really knows the turf. Welcome back, Ed.
Good to be back, Colonel.
Ed, before we get into the Middle East, you do have a book just out. It's the third in your series, and it's called Red Chaos. We got a minute or so. Give us an overview of that book.
Well, the book itself is a continuation of the Red Hotel series, and this gets deeply into some real information that has now come very clear, even though we wrote it almost a year and a half ago. And that's the impact of oil, China and Russia's ability to try to influence that, but more importantly, Russia, because they do control the North Sea. And as the North Sea starts to break up, we see Russia trying to put in more and more controls in their area. They do have 12 icebreakers, this is factual, to our two. So you can see they've been working that so that oil can be delivered to Europe by ship as well as the pipelines they develop. Our real bad guy, which is a friend of me, being the fact that I have watched Putin so closely, our character is still working in the back lines, and we have a strategy he has pulled off. We see the Suez Canal blown up with ships in it. We see efforts to control the Middle East. We see also the Panama Canal blown up, and we see an effort to really shift control of fuel oils and be able to raise the price of oil in Russia. I don't want to tell you how he does those because we want people to read the book, but it is a lot of fun. And of course, the hero, Dan Riley, catches on through very, very many sources. And this is then continued in the book that Gary and I just finished, which is called Red Ultimatum. And it continues into that with some of the things you're seeing right now and continues to expand some of the issues again, but bring China in much tighter than in the previous books.
Okay. And how can listeners get that? Amazon?
Amazon, Noble, any of the bookstores, independents, but most people seem to buy Amazon. And we have it both in a audio form. And of course, Amazon has their electronic book as well as the hardcover, and softcover is coming out shortly. We're in the sixth printing, so it's been a pretty successful book.
I would say so. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Ed Fuller. Ed, a lot of what you just described as part of the book is either currently or potentially a part of our life in America. Given what's going on in the Middle East right now, both in Ukraine and in Israel, our nation's weak response to things, is this maybe a prediction?
Well, there are some clear predictions in the book, but let's take a look at what's going on in the Middle East. And this comes from, I had an operation in Dubai office, and I had about 38 hotels in the Middle East, and from Pakistan to Jordan, even worked on hotels in Iraq while we were still deeply involved. So when you look at the Middle East, I think a lot of people struggle, and I know you're on top of it, but with who's who and why is it happening? And that has been the issue. When you take a look at the Palestine-Israel issue, that's a separate issue altogether, which started back right after World War I, when the British and the powers that be that were really involved in the Middle East, the British, French, Russians, started to try to take territories. Lebanon was French. The area around Jordan was British. And so the colonial period ran into World War II, and the Ottomans had controlled the area before World War I, but in World War II, you had the British and the French primarily working that area. At the end of the colonial period, the British actually withdrew, creating different countries. I've always said a cartographer created these countries. Kuwait did not exist. The UAE did not exist. A British cartographer sat down and drew up the border lines around a powerful Bedouin family, and the British packed up and left. The case of Israel was, in my opinion, a continued effort to have their own homeland. And that was Palestine. And I call it guilt factor on the part of the world, supported moving Israelis into that part of Palestine and created an Israeli state, which resulted in many, many, many Palestinians leaving and some staying in that area. Everything is a byproduct of history. And when you look at that particular conflict, that conflict has been going on. When I first went to Egypt in 1976, on one of my early trips into that area, every street corner was having a funeral because of the Egyptians' efforts to take on Israel. When we landed in Cairo, the TWA pilot said, "We have no radar at the airport. The Egyptians have moved it all up to the front, so just hang on and we'll get in there."
That's interesting.
Egypt was totally at war. What I think is driving the Middle East today is clearly religious Sunni Arabs moving closer to the West, which are Saudi, Jordan, Egypt, UAE, and the Shia factor, which is the real issue and challenge. And that is where the conflict rests. Hezbollah is Shia. The Iranians are supporting Hamas. And the Sunnis were getting too close, being Saudi and others, to Israel. And this latest turmoil is just one of many more to come.
Ed, well said. You have insights I don't have, but everything you say consistent with what I know. Thank you, brother, for joining us today. Thank you for your great book, Red Chaos. And thank you for being with us today. God bless you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Be well, Dennis.
Thank you, sir. Next up, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and we'll review the border and books with Skip and Gil. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. It's time to do some deep knee bends. Groups go halfway down each time. Do 40. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it is Service Academy football time. I'm joined, of course, by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome, brother.
Denny, it is always good to be here, Denny, even though it's a little bit more of a solemn occasion for me today.
Yeah, but you didn't have very many solemn occasions up till now. So it's good for you, Quentin. Think of it that way.
Character building, right?
So we might as well start with Quentin's solemn occasion. Last week, Army played Air Force in Denver, and Army won 23-3. An amazing game that I don't think anybody who watched it was expecting anything like this.
Danny, that's so true. Army came in with a 2-6 record. They went 8 straight quarters or 9 quarters without scoring a touchdown. Air Force sported an antsy 8-0 record, a number 19 ranking in the country, and were really poised to win the Commander-in-Chief's trophy as they had already beaten Navy. But it was not to be, Denny, as it was Black Knights early and it was Black Knights often as Army came off the bus and they just got in those tanks and they started rolling. And they rolled to a 23-3 victory over Air Force. As you said, in the former Mile High Stadium in Denver, Colorado, a beautiful day for football, a beautiful crowd out there. And Denny, you got to start with quarterback Bryce Daly, who had a career high 170 yards rushing on 36 carries. He had 2 touchdowns to ignite the Army offensive attack. Defense was led by Leo Lowen. The linebacker came up with a huge stop on 4th down on Air Force's first drive and finished the day with 12 tackles. But not to be left out is Bo Nicholas Paul, the defensive back, intercepted 2 passes from Air Force quarterbacks Zach Larrier, and the Army defense forced a total of 6 turnovers, 4 fumbles, 2 interceptions, and Denny, they just really made life hard for Air Force. When you would slow down the frames of the game and you could watch it on TV, you must credit the men in the trenches, offense and defense. My salute goes to the men in the trenches. Sure, Bryce Daly had a great day. Sure, Leo Lowen had a great day. But as those unnamed men, the 5 on offense and the 4-5 on defense, that really led the way. So, hats off to Army for really coming out there. If you would have looked at the game, you would have thought that it was Army who was 8-0 and Air Force who was actually 2-6. But it was just a tremendous effort on the part of Army. And whenever we look at it a little bit more, we look at the tail of the tape, we see that it was Army who really only had 253 yards of total offense. Now, Air Force only had 259, so it was pretty even there. Penalty yards. Army had 11 for 119. Air Force had about half of that, 6 for 55. First downs, Air Force had 19, the Army's 11. Third downs, Air Force was 5 of 14, Army was 4 of 14. But it all was about the first half. It was Army jumping out to a 17-0 lead in the first quarter, based on those turnovers and the turnover on downs. And the second quarter, again, it was more of the same. Air Force didn't score but 3 points and didn't punt until the fourth quarter because of all the turnovers. They just kept giving the ball away. So, when you do that, Denny, I said that it was the worst Air Force game I've watched that I could think of. And, some days it's like that, but I'm not going to wallow in my tears too much. I want to just tip my hat to Army because they earned it. They deserved it. And congratulations to them. They really took the game to Air Force. And now they are in the driver's seat for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. I want to give a couple of notes. Coach Jeff Monken is now 5-5 against Air Force, including winning 5 out of the last 7 games. Now, I will say that Air Force leads the all-time series 38-19 by a 2-1 margin, but that's beside the point. Army honored the 4th Infantry Division with a logo decal on the players' helmet and coaches' headsets for this game. The 4th Infantry Division is based in Fort Carson, Colorado. I'm going to wrap it up there, Denny. It was just, I mean, there were all kinds of records broken that Army set because of beating a ranked team for the first time since 1972 and the like. But I tell you what, it was just really a lesson in hunger. The Army was playing hunger games, and they were hungry, and they looked like it.
Indeed. Navy lost to Temple.
32-18, Denny. And again, Navy's just having a tough time. Coach Brian Newberry said, I'm really disappointed. I thought coming out of the bye week, we had 2 good weeks of preparation. But Temple just outscored Navy in the first half, 17-0. Navy just really couldn't get it going. When our teams fall behind, they just don't have the offenses and that explosiveness to catch up. And so that's what happened in this game. And, you know, Navy, again, fell to 3-5 on the season. They still have a lot to play for, though. So Coach Newberry is going to rally the troops, and we can look forward to a better game next week.
Indeed. Coast Guard won at WPI. They got 28-21, right?
That's right, Denny. Coast Guard indeed did come away with the victory 28-21 and moved to 5-4 in the season, setting up that classic against the Merchant Marine Academy.
And the Merchant Marines had a bye this week. So that's this week. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football with Quentin Roberts. Okay, this week, Armies versus Holy Cross.
That's right, Denny. Army versus Holy Cross. They host them at Nike Stadium, and you can expect, I think Army with Bryson Daly back has found that missing ingredient. I expect Army to win out the way that they've been playing.
Here's hoping they continue. Navy hosts University of Alabama, Birmingham.
They do indeed, Denny. University of Alabama, Birmingham is favored in this game. You know, but the Middies, if they can find that secret sauce in the quarterback position and how to play that game like Army did last week against Air Force, they can surprise a lot of people by beating University of Alabama, Birmingham.
And Air Force is going to Hawaii. That should be fun.
The Falcons must regroup, Denny. You know, it was a humbling experience, that Army game. But you know what? You cannot let one loss turn into 2. So I'm sure that the coaches and the team have refocused on Hawaii and the task at hand. You can't do anything about the Army game right now. All you can do is prepare to fly, fight, and win against Hawaii.
And this week, Merchant Marine versus Coast Guard. That's their big game.
It is, Denny. Similar to the Army-Navy game, it's the big one for them. Coast Guard against the Merchant Marine Academy. Coast Guard is 5-4, Merchant Marine Academy 6-2. They're both having a very solid season.
It'll be a great game. It will. Thank you, Quentin. Happy Veterans Day, brother. We'll be back at it again next week.
Denny, happy Veterans Day to you and all the veterans that listen to our show. We very much appreciate you.
Indeed. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom is Marine B&B and Gil's view of the southern border and Skip through review of a book. And then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice and take a break to stay in the area. We'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com, 10% off promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. And now it's time for Marine B&B. Marine vet Gil Mazza, a retired border patrolman, will discuss our nation's southern border. Welcome, Gil. Glad you could join us.
Well, good morning to you both. Today, I have to tell you that my biggest concern right now is the DHS-CBP social media machine. You know, right now it's being used by the Biden administration, and I'm sure it's going to be used throughout this next election year to get this administration reelected. How? Well, if you go solely and get your information from DHS, CBP, ICE tweets and posts from every sector throughout the country, it's all about enforcement of Title VIII immigration laws, removal flights of illegals, rock videos, jokes, and trophy shots of arrests and seizures. You wouldn't really think anything is wrong at our borders at all. And they pound that message constantly and aggressively, hourly almost, that the border is closed, that the homeland couldn't be more secure. And personally, guys, I'm afraid that the full weight of the agencies that were created to protect Americans after 9/11 will be used against us, right? As taxpayers are literally funding these humongous social media platforms to hide the disgusting, the disgraceful, the disastrous consequences of this most wide open border in the history of the country.
Well, yes, indeed. So that's what Gil will be talking about. And Marine vet and author Skip Coriel will discuss his interesting book. So, Skip, you're welcome too.
Well, thank you, Colonel. You know, Gil, you really impressed me. That was three words: disastrous, disgusting, and what was the other one?
Disgraceful.
Disgraceful. All polysyllabic redundancies. I'm impressed, Gil. You should write a book.
I'm going to have to Google that.
Okay.
Yep. I've never heard Marines use these big words before.
I looked them up.
Okay. That's good. Okay.
Just Gil, before the show.
You brought that up. My concern, from my perspective, is given that Hamas and Hezbollah and other terrorist groups have camps just south of our border, how could they not have gotten into our nation?
Well, here's the thing. The army isn't coming, sir. The army is already here. That's the bottom line. The reality of it, and by the way, I'm hearing from upper echelons and from people that I know about these things, that even if we were to shut down the borders today, 100% completely shut down, there are such gaping holes and breaches in our security along the border that we would still be almost completely vulnerable to attack.
Wow.
If that happened, that right there is, you know, just blows the mind.
It does. It's not just to close the obvious things. We've got to sort of redo the whole thing.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, border security or the security of our country is being treated not like a law enforcement officer, right? Law enforcement's about prevention. It's about making sure that your house doesn't get broken into, not to react after it has been broken into. And right now, I feel like the whole picture along the border is you see these posts and tweets every day. Well, they might have a section of the house, maybe the closet, very well secured, but the rest of the house is completely wide open and it is being ransacked.
Well, everything that I know, every piece of information I've been able to get access to, and I got a lot, totally agrees with what you just said. Totally.
Yeah. And that's the damnable thing about it, is that we are sitting here pretending as if, you know, nothing is wrong. And that's the part that really upsets me, is the fact that the DHS CBP social media machine is going full bore trying to convince Americans that the border is secure, the border is closed, that this nation hasn't been more secure. And so we're getting gaslighted by the same organizations that were created to protect us after 9/11.
That's so outrageous that it's almost hard to believe that it's true, but it is true. There's no indication to otherwise. Anybody who lives along the border knows that.
Well, that's the thing, right? So New York's complaining that they're being overwhelmed, that they did their fair share. Well, you know, the border cities and towns have taken on hundreds of times as many illegals into their communities, into their social networks, into all these resources. They are completely, completely bankrupt because of them. And yet they're complaining because they got 100,000 aliens in New York and other places like that. And they don't want to close the border down. They simply want more taxpayer money to fund it.
And the only thing I can say to that is barf. That is total baloney. So it sounds like it's a fair summary that it has been a disaster. It's still a disaster, and the disaster is getting worse. Is that a fair summary?
It's fair, but the key point is if you're getting your information from these federal government entities, you wouldn't even think that there's a peep going along the southern border, that all is quiet on the Western Front, so to speak.
Unless you talk to somebody from one of the states or somebody who, like you, is or has been working in the border, they know, right?
Well, I'll close you with this, sir. The thing about it is that if you allowed every Border Patrol agent and CBP officer on northern and southern border to say exactly what's going on, there would literally be no place to hide for this administration or even the disingenuous, you know, meat puppets that are running DHS and CBP that actually are true believers with this administration. There would be no place to hide because nobody would be able to deny it.
And the truth is the truth. Thank you, Gil. I appreciate you, even if you are a Marine. And by the way, happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, sir. And it's going to be our birthday all week long.
Uh-huh. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're doing the Marine B&B with Gil and Skip. Okay, Skip, you're up. What's your book?
Well, Colonel, before I tell you the name of the book, I want to ask you a question. Uh-oh. All right? This is a rhetorical question. It's not going to get you in trouble. Well, it might get you in trouble. But imagine that there is a nuclear explosion and there's a new kind of radiation that's spread out across the planet, and it makes every male, regardless of age, sterile. So the world is facing eventual extinction. It's an extinction level event. And they find one man who can reproduce. And you are that one man. So, Colonel, the government is coming to you and they're saying, Colonel Gilliam, it's time for you to step up and serve your country again. You are the only reproductive male in the world, and we need you to help out as much as you can, help us repopulate the earth.
Hell, how would you explain Frogtown?
Yes. How would you explain that to Marilyn?
I would ask whoever came to me and said that to explain it to her.
And good luck.
Yes. And then it would probably be worse than the nuclear explosion that made everyone sterile. But that is the plot line for a book titled Mr. Adam, that's spelled A-D-A-M. And this was published in 1946 by Pat Frank, who was really the very first apocalyptic adventure genre author. And, you know, he also wrote Alas, Babylon. But this book is just, it's funny, it's lighthearted, but you can see where the plot line was taken, you know, kind of seriously back in 1946 after the first, nuclear explosion. And people were wondering, gosh, could this really happen? And so that is the plot line. It was a bestseller in 1946, sold 2 million copies, which back then was a lot of copies. And it made enough money for Pat Frank so that he could go ahead and retire from his day job and just work on novels all the time, which he did after that. But it's a great novel. It's fun. It's funny, but it's also serious. And the good news for you, Colonel, is you don't have to go to your wife and explain to her why you have to repopulate the earth.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
It's just fiction. You're off the hook.
And I guess that people can get this book anywhere?
Yeah, they can get it pretty much anywhere. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, you know, wherever you go to get your books. It'll be there. Been around for a long time. And it is a classic, Colonel.
Again, give the title of the book and the author.
All right. The name of the author is Pat Frank. And the name of the book is Mr. Adam.
Okay. Skip,
you know
thank
what,
you.
Skip? I was going to sell you the plot line for a book that makes me the last Marine Corps general left on the planet to populate it with Scarlett Johansson. But somebody beat me to it.
You know, I want to get these two guys together to write a book, but that's not the topic.
Oh,
shit. Oh, right. Boy. Well, we could come up with some really good stuff, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, Skip, thank you. We're good at putting up with each other, aren't we?
We certainly are. We have a good time, Colonel.
You keep telling yourself that, sir.
I do. I'm the Colonel. And thank you, Gil, for taking time to join us today and for your service to our nation. We need people like us that will share the truth. We may make fun, but we share the truth. Okay, Skip, get back to work. You're back on in a minute. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. About 64 this time. I want you Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
The U.S. is more than $32 trillion in debt, a number that is going up by the second.
Meanwhile, our country faces expanding global threats while our military readiness is consumed with unnecessary engagements elsewhere.
If we want to be safe in the future, we need to get our debt and spending under control. Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from your listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Marine Mom Betty is cheering for Israel against the terrorists. How can anyone support terrorists?
Betty, I have no idea. Terrorists are by definition evil. How could anyone who takes civilians hostages, much less tortures them, be anything but evil?
And Rocky, a former Coast Guardsman, is concerned for Ukraine, but feels that Russia's military isn't much of a threat. Do we have to keep supporting them?
Rocky, Ukraine is doing well, and Russia is a mess, their military for sure. But we do need to provide a bit of support for them, but Europe can and should provide the bulk of what they need. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 15 November 1777, during the Revolutionary War, after 16 months of debate, the Continental Congress, sitting in its temporary capital of York, Pennsylvania, agreed to adopt the Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union. Not until March 1, 1781, would the last of the 13 states, Maryland, ratify the agreement. The Articles of Confederation were the legal document that bound the colonies into a single nation. But the Articles created a very weak central government, so weak that they were ultimately replaced by the Constitution.
After we won the war. And on 14 November 1863, during the Civil War, President Lincoln approved General Ambrose Burnside's plan to capture the Confederate capital at Richmond, Virginia. But it was an ill-fated move as it led to the disastrous Battle of Fredericksburg on December 13th, in which the Army of the Potomac was dealt one of its worst defeats at the hand of General Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia. Burnside was not one of our best generals.
And on 15 November 1864, during the Civil War, Union General William Tecumseh Sherman began his expedition across Georgia by torching the industrial section of Atlanta and pulling away from his supply lines. For the next 6 weeks, Sherman's army destroyed most of Georgia before capturing the Confederate seaport of Savannah, Georgia.
And on the 14th of November, 1940, during World War II, German bombers devastated the English city of Coventry, demolishing tens of thousands of buildings and killing hundreds of men, women, and children. The term Covertern, to Coventrate, passed into the German language, meaning to annihilate or reduce to rubble.
And on 17 November, 1941, during World War II, Joseph Goebbels published in the German magazine Das Reich that, quote, "the Jews wanted the war and now they have it," unquote, referring to the Nazi propaganda scheme to shift the blame for the World War onto European Jewry, thereby giving the Nazis a rationalization for the so-called final solution.
And on the 15th of November, 1943, during World War II, Heinrich Himmler made public an order that gypsies and those of mixed gypsy blood could be put to the same level as Jews and placed in concentration camps. Himmler was determined to prosecute Nazism's racial policies, which dictated the elimination from Germany and German-controlled territories, all races deemed inferior, as well as asocial types, such as hardcore criminals. Gypsies fell into both categories, according to the thinking of the Nazi ideologues, and had been executed in droves in both Poland and the Soviet Union. The order of November 15th was merely a more comprehensive program, as it included the deportation to Auschwitz of gypsies already in labor camps.
And on 15 November 1957, in a long and rambling interview with an American reporter, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev claimed that the Soviet Union had missile superiority over the U.S. and challenged America to a missile shooting match to prove his assertion. The interview further fueled fears in the U.S. that the nation was falling perilously behind the Soviets in the arms race.
I don't think we ever did the shooting match. And on the 14th of November, 1965, during the Vietnam War, in the first major engagement of the war between regular U.S. and North Vietnamese forces, elements of the 3rd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division, Air Mobile, fought a pitched battle with communist main force units in the Iadrang Valley of the Central Highlands. On this morning, Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moores, 1st Battalion, 7th Cav, conducted an Air Mobile assault into Landing Zone X-ray near the Chu Phong Hills. Around noon, the North Vietnamese 33rd Regiment attacked the U.S. troopers. The fight continued all day and into the night. American soldiers received support from nearby artillery units and tactical airstrikes. The next morning, the North Vietnamese 66th Regiment joined the attack against the U.S. unit. The fighting was bitter, but the tactical airstrikes and artillery support took their toll on the enemy and enabled the 1st Cav troopers to hold against repeated assaults. Our troopers did an outstanding job resisting this attack.
And on 13 November 1982, near the end of a week-long national salute to Americans who served in the Vietnam War, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial was dedicated in Washington after a march to its site by thousands of veterans of the conflict. The long-awaited memorial is a simple V-shaped black granite wall inscribed with the names of 57,939 Americans who died in the conflict, arranged in order of death, not rank, as was common in other memorials.
I've been to that memorial several times. It certainly touches me. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
In Elderton, Wisconsin, a 79-year-old man went to the mall to pick up a few things. A 22-year-old man was scouting for victims at the same mall and followed the shopper home. When the older man got out of his car, the attacker raced up and stabbed him in the face. While bleeding from the face, the defender retrieved his firearm and fired one shot at the assailant. The attacker then overpowered the man, twisted the gun out of his grip, and ran away. The injured shopper called for police to report the incident. Hours later, the attacker was found dead in his car from one gunshot wound to the chest.
Thanks, Colonel. Violent criminals don't want a fair fight. They just want a victim. That's why more and more they're targeting the elderly, because they see them as easy prey. If you're over 60, be aware that young criminals now see you as a meal ticket, and they won't hesitate to attack you and hurt you. According to FBI crime stats, the most likely person to violently attack you is between the ages of 15 and 34 and male. What does that demographic have in common? They are the fastest, the strongest, and the most aggressive that they'll ever be in their entire lives. And they're going up against you, a man or woman over 60. It's not fair, but that's the whole point. They don't want it to be fair. They want it to be easy and profitable. Lots of undesirable things happen to us as we age. Our eyesight dims. That makes it hard to recognize danger from a distance and less likely to avoid it. We also can't hear as well as we used to. So someone can yell a warning to us, and we might not make out the words. Because of past injuries and the general ravages of time, we're no longer as strong and flexible as we used to be. In a physical fight, we're less likely to prevail and more likely to break. We also no longer have the option of running. Anyone over 60 understands what I mean by that. Despite all those disadvantages, though, our 79-year-old hero prevailed over a 22-year-old man in his prime. Sure, he was stabbed in the face, but he'll heal up just fine. He lived to fight another day. The young criminal can't make the same assertion. Our elderly hero carried a pistol, and he knew how and when to use it. He fired just one shot at close range, and that was enough to drive off his attacker. Sure, our hero was disarmed, but by then the damage was already done. The criminal was fatally injured and had to retreat and then die. The number one rule to self-defense for the elderly is to own a gun and know when and how to use it. This Wisconsin man followed that rule and prevailed over a man in his prime. Frontlines of Freedom salutes this Wisconsin man for his determination to never give up and for his excellent close combat marksmanship. We wish him all the best as he heals.
Yes, sir. Our movie of the month is The 11th Order. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website to go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, General Greg Martin will discuss being bipolar. Then West Pointer and Dr. John Hopkins will share his book. Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission to helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafreedom.com. That's cvafreedom.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. And have a happy Veterans Day, all you veterans. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.